Is this on?
Good morning to each one of you. We're thankful today for the blessings of the Lord in our life. I won't mince words this morning. The Lord gave me a few things to say to you, and I'd like to ask for your prayers. Most of all, I'm not capable of doing anything by myself, but I know the Lord is able to help us. I keep a lot of notes because I forget a lot of things. So if you don't like preachers that have notes, please pray for me because I have lots of notes that I take down. My thought that I have today for us is God's prescription. God has a prescription for each of us today. And I'd like to share a few scriptures the Lord has given me, and also some songs that hopefully will be a blessing to us today. The first thing I'm thinking of is loneliness. I don't know, today you can be amongst this big crowd of people and you can feel so alone inside. You can feel like you're in the midst of a lot of people, but you're lonely. You don't feel like you are integrating, or you're really a part. You're here in presence, but there's part of your spirit somewhere else. Or you could just feel a emptiness in your heart. I'd like to look at song number 489. Maybe you all could help me there, but song number 489, Never Alone. The song says, I've seen the lightning flashing, I've heard the thunder roll, I felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior telling me still to fight on. He's promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're here today and you're lonely, God has a prescription for you. He has something that He has prescribed. He has a good song, the Word of God, that will encourage your heart. Look with me in the book of Psalms, the 102nd chapter of Psalms. If we can elevate our thinking, I appreciate what Brother Ted said about the sheep. I believe the Lord wants us to lift up our heads so we can hear the voice of our shepherd. 102 and 7, I came across this scripture the other day and I thought, of all the things I've read in the Bible, this one scripture I don't believe I've ever read. But if you're like this situation, he said, I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. You might be here this morning and think, that's about how valuable I feel. I feel like I'm alone. I'm not anymore. Nobody notices me, you see. Nobody cares for me because they don't speak to me. I don't fit in. Or something. You might feel like you're one of those sparrows on the housetop. You're just kind of all by yourself. But you know the Lord wants to give you a special visit today. Amen. He wants to comfort you. I got a call this week, and one of the saints' children been in deep trouble. And anyway, I went to visit him in the hospital. They're all alone. They're shackled to a bed. They have two guards watching them, and tattoos all over them. You know, everything is just set up in life that looked like he was going after, and it didn't work out. And he's all by himself. Nobody could visit him, and here he was in bed there. And you know, of all places, I thought I didn't really want to be in there. I mean, my own natural flesh, but I thought, you know, here's a person that has a soul. And God help us today when we feel sometimes in our own experiences we're so alone. There's somebody worse than you are. There's somebody. And really the success of this camp meeting is not determined how many people come here, but it's what we are when we leave. And it's how we act and how we carry this gospel that's so precious to people that are out there that are really hurting, that are really needing somebody to say hi to them or just need somebody to touch them, need somebody to visit them. The real success of our meetings is going to be the Lord is going to weigh everything out, what is preached, what we've got a hold of, and how we're able to carry that out and minister to other people. The Lord bless us today, folks. I believe God has got a prescription for loneliness, and sometimes we pull back in and we kind of become a reclusive person when we've been hurt or when disappointments come. We kind of tend to just be quiet and all, but you know, God has a prescription for loneliness today. And if you're feeling like nobody knows my condition, nobody really cares, this young man didn't really have much hope. He's watching television. That's about the only thing entertaining that he could have going on. And I stepped in his door and he looked at me and I hadn't seen him for a while and he said, "Brother James," you know, that touched my heart. Just that one little visit, 5 minutes is all. Loneliness, folks, it has a way. It can work on us if we're not careful. There's some of you come from congregations, just, you know, you meet regularly. You have fellowship and still you feel lonely. You feel like there's something wrong. You're just not a part of the body. There's something happening. I want to encourage you to look out on someone that's not as fortunate as you are and pay them a visit and do something to get out of this. Because I'm going to tell you, loneliness, it has a way. It's like a cycle, and it can set in on you, and you can isolate yourself to the point that nobody can help you. You can get so far that you're crying tears, and you have hurts, but we've got to get out of that place. There has to be a place. God has a prescription. He wants you to advance. He doesn't want you to stay in that same spot. He wants you to move on. He wants you to get out of that place. Loneliness. You know, you can think, well, I've got a good family. I've got all these people around, but I still feel lonely. The Lord is wanting us to move up just a little closer to Him. He's wanting us to overcome some things. He has a way of blessing us. 2 Timothy 4:16. If anybody could be lonely, Paul could have said, I wish somebody would pay a little attention to me. I believe it says here, at my first answer, nobody stood with me, but the Lord stood by me. You ever been by yourself? You ever been in a place where you was just about singled out and nobody else was agreeing with you and you was just all alone? Paul said, there's one thing about it. The Lord stood by me. God stood by me. God sustained me. And that's what we need. We need Him to stand by us. He could have said, my first answer, nobody stood with me, and I'm giving up. But you know, if you'd read Paul's writings and you'd see where he says, brethren, of all the things that's happened to me, I don't want y'all to be discouraged, because these things have fallen out further. There's a furtherance of the gospel. They've fallen out, not in a bad way and not in a way where I've got all my hurts and everything exposed now. And I want you all to realize the dangers of the gospel and everything that's going to happen to you and scare you off from ever doing anything for God. No, he said, listen, brethren, the things that's happened to me have fallen out further to the furtherance of the gospel. And that's what we want to leave behind, not a trail of loneliness and discouragement. All right. May the Lord bless us today. John 16:32. I'd like to read this to us. I appreciate the encouraging things and all the good messages. I believe the Lord has a way of encouraging our hearts today, and He wants to bless us more than we realize. John 16:32, He said, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, and ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and ye shall leave me alone, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I'd like to tell you this morning, when you feel like you're deserted, and there's nobody else around, you have to remember what Jesus said, I'm not alone. The Father is with me. You have to remember what Paul was saying. My first answer, nobody stood with me, but the Lord stood by me. That's very vital to us today. There's a lot of variety of people, variety of circumstances, but I want to tell you today, the Lord wants to encourage us that we don't have to feel alone. Jesus said, there's going to come a time when some real problems are going to happen. You're going to be scattered. But he said, you shall leave me alone, and yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Thank the Lord. The next thing I have wrote down here, these thoughts came to my mind and a whole bunch more, is depression. Song number 162 in our book. Look at that for a moment. Song number 162. Part of that song says, be not afraid, 'tis I, though the storm rages wild. Do you know, folks, this morning, if all of us let things happen to us and we let things affect us, it can cause us to be depressed. We can turn on the news and we can hear about the 57th homicide that happened in your town. You can listen to all kinds of reports about stocks going up and going down, and you can see the reports of wars and rumors of wars. You can listen to people, and a lot of things sometimes you pick up and hear, they can be depressing. Depression has a way of coming around and knocking on every one of our doors. But I want to tell you, the Lord has a good song. Another song that came to my mind as I was thinking of this is a song, The Upper Window. God spoke unto Noah and told him, build an ark. The Lord knew well the vessel would cheerless be and dark. But he said, you build a window that looks up toward the sky. And when it's dark and lonely, you'll see me standing by. We need to be encouraged this morning. Get out of depression. 1 Kings 19:9. I'd like to read here 1 Kings 19:9. It says, talking about Elijah, his own name meant a prophet of fire. And what's he doing running from old Jezebel? But he got out there and run for a good ways. And the Lord had a way of speaking to him. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? You know, you might ask yourself this morning, how in the world did you get depressed? How in the world did we end up get to feeling like we did? What have we been thinking on? What kind of songs have we been listening to that have got us to a place where we're at today? How did you get depressed? I want to tell you, there's a little trail that we can follow many times to where our problems came from, where they developed. God has a prescription. He wants you to keep looking at the upper window. He doesn't want you to keep looking down at the circumstances and all the problems. He wants us to keep looking up. You're going to leave here. You're going to face the same devil when you get home. You're going to face all the problems you had. But here's something great. God has a prescription for a lot of these ailments we're going through. He has a lot. And you know what? We tend sometimes to carry those things with us wherever we go. We tend to carry a spirit with us where we go. May the Lord help us. We've heard in this meeting, I believe, about being lights in the world. We sure don't want to be coming into a room full of depression and bringing that with us. Oh, I'm just full of gloom. Well, God has a prescription for us. He said to the man of God, what are you doing here? You're down this cave? Well, I found me a good place to stay. It's pretty sheltered, and I can look. All I have to do is worry about looking out of one hole. You see, I don't have to worry about them coming over my back. Jezebel's going to get me. The Lord said, I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Elijah, what are you doing over here? Why What's your business in a cave anyway? That's not where God designed us to be, in a cave. It's not where He's designed us to stay in depression and stay in gloom and just woe is me. No, He wants us to keep going, keep going. Never stop. Keep going. 19 and 18 of this same chapter, He said, I've left in me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which should not bow unto Baal and every mouth which should not kiss Him. Listen, Elijah, you've left something good. You've left 7,000. You're out here by yourself. Where's Gehazi? Where's all your, you know, you even run off and left them. You're running so fast. Listen, Elijah, there's something I want to help you with. Yes. Folks, today, depression is a real thing. It consumes people. It gets to be where when you're in affliction and when you're in troubles and when things are just constantly bearing down, we tend to feel the pressure of it, and it weighs you down. It weighs you down, and it'll crush you if you're not careful. Oh, the good Lord has some prescriptions for us today. Amen. Psalm number 197 tells us, we shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. And the scripture tells us, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. God has a prescription this morning. He has an antidote for your depression. He has a way of lifting us up whenever we don't feel like. I remember one time a sister in Springfield said that she was getting down. And the Lord came to her and said, if you will lift up your eyes, I'll lift up your head. And the book of Psalms 3 and 3 said, you are the lifter up of my head. She said, if I can just lift my eyes, the Lord would lift my head. And I believe that this morning, folks. There's a lot of things to discourage us now. We're going to meet up with the opposition. I just plan on it. I go into the jail sometimes and I plan on it. And I'm going to have a good time at it. All right, I know that I'm going to get bombarded with the devil. So, and knowing all of that, I'm going to have the best time while I'm here. I'm going to hit him every way that I can, and I'm going to enjoy it. And then whenever he comes out, I'm going to plead the blood. Now, Lord, you're going to have to help me here. Flat tires and all kinds of people and problems and different things come. That's fine. Thank God. I'm still going to keep going on. Do you know any advancement we make, we're going to be opposed. We're going to be opposed. The next thing I'd like to share with you today, temptation. Song number 247. That song is a real inspiration to me. Song number 247, draw me nearer. Part of that song says, when my soul is sorely tempted, thou wilt all my fears allay. Temptations will come. Gear up for it. But remember that He will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. So with the temptation, God is able. He is able, folks, to keep us in the hollow of His hand. The book of James says to us in the fourth chapter of James, I'd like to read here. Please pray for me today. I know that God has something good for us. Amen. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Submit yourselves to God. He has a way of keeping us when we're submitted. When we're out of His will, temptations can overcome us. But He has a way of keeping us. I love the song that says, I believe it's song number 270. that says, sin resisted tempts no longer. Faith in conflict waxes stronger, standing firm. Temptation can be overcome when we resist. Temptation. But if you're just constantly staying around that temptation, it's going to grab at you. It's going to try to get a hold of you. But when we resist, we have to have resistance to get out of temptation. When temptation comes, we have to resist it. That's a necessary part of ours. Sin resisted tempts no longer. Faith in conflict waxes stronger, standing firm. I want to encourage you to get a good song in your heart. David said, you gave me songs in the night. Song number 270 is a very strong scripture. And I mean a very strong inspiration. It's a real blessing to us. How many have been overcome by temptation? God has a prescription for that. He can help you. Young men, be strong. He's not telling us to be overcome. He said, be an overcomer. Young men, be strong. You're tempted to look at things. You're tempted to go here and there on the internet. Be strong. Sin resisted, tempts no longer. Stay away from things that are drawing you away. If it's leading you astray, stay away from it. Realize your weakness. Realize I can't overcome that. That thing has power in it, and it'll take me in. How many people, strong people, have been overcome by temptations? May the Lord bless us today. I believe the Lord today has a remedy. He has a prescription for everything. The next thing I'd like to visit us about today is pride. Song number 298 says, humble thyself to walk with God. Part of that says, if thou wouldst have the dear Savior from heaven walk by thy side from the morn to the even, there's a rule that each day you must follow. Humble thyself to walk with God. Pride has a way of causing us trouble. Soul troubles. Many things can happen with pride. Only by pride comes contention. That's where a lot of things start, is I want my way. I want to control. I want things done exactly like I want it done. And if it's not done my way, then it's not done right. And you know, a part of that is just pride. Folks, God has a remedy for that. If we're not careful, pride will overcome us. Pride comes before destruction, the scripture said, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride has a way. They've talked about green-eyed pride and how money and things. I want to tell you, we have to watch out, because there's a lot of things that can be very proudful, and we can have an attitude of pride about us, and it can cause us trouble. I want you to look with me in the book of 1 John 2 and 16 for a moment here. 1 John 2 and 16. I hope you're not asleep this morning, because you're going to go home and you're going to, I wonder what that, I remember that guy talking about something. I can't remember what in the world that. Yeah, I'm having some hard times. I wonder what that prescription was. Well, we slept through it. And we didn't get it. We missed it somehow. 1 John 2 and 16, it says this, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and pride of life. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. And he went on to say, the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. May the Lord encourage our hearts today. Old pride can surely cause us lots of trouble. We have to watch it from the pulpit to the pew. When David was in his height of his, he had years of success behind him. He'd already slain Goliath. But there was a brother. There was a relative of the giants. And old David thought, yeah, if I've handled him before, yeah, it's no problem. I can take him. Let me have him. All these other men looking around, here's this giant. David, what do you want? I believe I'll take him. And you know that giant almost overcome David. I believe it was Abishai that stepped down. They got down. in that pit or wherever they was at, and he succored him. He helped him to overcome. And he said, they told him then, don't go out in the battle anymore because we don't want the light of Israel going out. And they kept him back. But I want to tell you, after years of achievement in your life and years of having things go real successful, be careful. And I've noticed we better watch out for this because pride has a way of getting a hold of us and it can cause us lots of spiritual troubles. Beware of pride. 11 and 2 of Proverbs, I quoted this a while ago, I'll read it. When pride cometh, then cometh, no, I didn't read this one. Then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. When pride comes, then cometh shame. I mentioned before, I was in a restaurant and seen this real estate lady, and she was selling homes, and she was the talk of the town, and she was such a very proud person. Her name was in newspapers all over, and here she was, and she was eating this restaurant. And she got up to leave, and she had this large brooch on her sweater or coat or whatever. And she was wrapping herself up, and that thing come flying off and went under a table. I wish I'd have had a camera. Because here she was, I'm not going to say her name, crawling on her hands and knees underneath this table. I thought, boy, when pride comes, then comes shame. You better watch pride. Oh, you get so lifted up thinking you're something, and here you're down in a restaurant on your hands and knees, clamoring around trying to find your little prideful things. God help us today. The saints are a humble people. The saints are a plain people. I love them. They're not drawing for attention for themselves. They're not looking to get attention for themselves. They're trying to glorify God. That's what God wants of every one of us. Only a pride comes, there's shame that comes along with it. Oh, be careful. Ecclesiastes, 7th chapter, in the 8th verse. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, in the 8th verse, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I want to tell you the attributes of a child of God. One of them is patience. And pride has a way of working on that patience. So be careful. Be careful. May the Lord bless us today. 16 and 18 of Proverbs, it says this, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride. The next thing I had, humility. It's the opposite of pride, but humility, song number 201, it says this, humility, thou secret veil, unknown to proud in heart, where showers of blessings ever fail and glories ne'er depart. Humility, that's the trademark of the saints of God. In James 4 and 10, we got close to there a while ago, reading James 4 and 10, says this, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. It's necessary for us to have humility. God sees the proud coming afar off. He sees the pride of people, and that hinders his blessings in so many ways. We want to find a way to be hindered. Let's find a way to get the blessings of God. That is through humility, humbling ourselves before God. I had another one of greed, and I don't have a whole lot on that except a little song that we sing sometimes, and it says, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes. Watch. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Achan got out and he saw something. He saw all the spoils of war. He got out and he saw the things laying out on the ground. And he thought, nobody will see me. I'll just pick it up. And what he saw got him in trouble. He hid it in his tent and it caused death. Be careful, because greed, what you see and desiring what other people have, can cause you trouble. There's a prescription. Be careful what you see. Don't covet another man's wealth. Don't covet all of his goods and things. Be careful, because greed can cause so much trouble in our lives. Discouragement, God has a prescription for that. Song number 257. Part of that song says, never, never be discouraged. Never falter by the way. So God wants to help us there. The book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Excuse me. The 40th chapter of Isaiah, the 29th verse. I quoted this a while ago, part of it. It says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. I believe God wants to give us strength. He doesn't want us to be discouraged. He wants to help us. He wants to bless us. You know, if we look at all the things that are happening around us, we can see there's a lot of discouraging things, but I believe God has a prescription. And he wants to help us to come out of those kind of things. The next one I had wrote down, the Lord brought so many things to my mind, and I'm almost through, so don't think I'm going to take all day, but we need faith. Song number 283. Can someone read? I don't see it. Here's one. Never mind. I got it right here. Thank you. Song number 283. If thou wilt know the fountain deep of sweet unbroken rest, the rest of faith thy soul shall keep. He that believes is ever blessed. Stay not in feeble unbelief when God commands, be strong. Be strong in him, the word believe, and shout the overcomer's song. We need faith. By Matthew 17 and 20, I had a scripture here that I wanted to share with you all today. Matthew 17 and 20. Thank you. It says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. We do need to exercise the prayer and fasting. We need to have faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We have to have faith to believe. I believe that's such a necessary thing. I was thinking when we moved from Tulsa to Springfield, I went to a place in Springfield to look for a job there. And this man said, have you got a job back in Oklahoma? I said, yes, I do. And he said, well, you better stay there because there's nothing up here right now. Our economy's not very good. But you know, the Lord was saying you need to go ahead and go. Faith will help us to keep moving. I'm so glad I did. There's some things you don't want to listen to the wisdom of the world. You have to keep moving. Don't stop. And I'm so grateful that we did. You know, the Lord has a way of providing for us. One time, I remember Brother Murphy Allen coming by our house, and he said, I just felt burdened to come and pray for you. And he had that cancer all over his face, and he was in such pain. And I tell you, my heart was touched. And he got out of his car, and we went in the garage and knelt down, and he began to pray earnestly for me. And I want to tell you, while he was praying, I got this vision. This doesn't happen very often to me, but it did. I had a vision of a bird's nest. And in that nest was some eggs. And I know Brother Murphy is not a type that he was not very comical. But I had to tell him, Brother Allen, listen, when you was praying, I got this vision of a bird nest. And he knew nothing of our needs. Not one thing. Nobody knew what he could have known. And here was those eggs. And I told him, and I didn't know what his reaction would be. And he said, well, you know, whatever laid them could come back and lay some more. In 21 days, folks, there was provisions made. That's how long it takes a chicken egg to hatch. 21 days. In 21 days, it happened. We've got to have faith in God. Without that, it's impossible to please Him. So, may the Lord bless us today. 17 and 5 of Luke says this, Lord, increase our faith. The apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. That should be our desire in our prayer today. As we leave here, as we go our different ways, Lord, increase our faith. Help us, Lord. Help me to remember the things that You've done and You've spoken to me, that I can take the things that You've given and go on with them. One other scripture here, Romans 10 and 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we neglect the assembling of ourselves together, if we neglect to come to church, you pastors know what it's like when you come in on Sunday morning and there's one person in Sunday school. I'm not talking just in the adult class. I'm talking about in the whole building. In the whole building. It's not like they're hiding underneath. No, they're not there. They're gone. Now get up and preach. The devil come. Now get up and give them a fire message. You know what? The other day I walked in. I said, oh, I'm so glad all of you are here. So glad to have you. Oh, y'all try to find a place to sit down. If you let it, you can let things just, you know, the devil comes along. Yeah, yeah. Must not be doing a very good job, huh? People don't like you. You know that. You know that. They got something against you. You can get down under a whole lot of things, but I want to tell you, I want to be like that pilot. He told me, he said, I had no idea how I was going to get out of the mess that I was in. He was in Vietnam, and he said I was being, had two MiGs chasing me, and I didn't know how to get out. I was running out of fuel, and he said, I turned around, and I went back after him. And he was out of fuel. He said his plane ended up crashing. He said, I don't know how in the world I pulled my parachute. He said it. My arms was dislocated when I ejected out. My sockets was torn. I couldn't pull my parachute, but it came open when I hit the water. I don't know how my vest got inflated. He said I tried to get my arm up there and I couldn't do it. But God came by and helped this man, and he got out. He made it. So many times we use our own wisdom and we want to work things out. And listen, I'm not going if I don't have a painted picture of everything that's going to happen. You need to marry into the Husky family. Forgive me. They all know I love them, but I'm going to tell you, I went to start to go one time with my father-in-law. And I said, Dad, why is this light blinking on the dash? Don't worry about it. Dad, I can't roll up the window. He said, stay there. He gets out on the outside and he pushes up with his hand. And he said, you push the button and I'll push up. Got up to the turnpike gate. I don't have any change. He said, I don't either. I said, Dad, we got to take care of this. And then get down there a little way. Dad, how much fuel we got? I don't know. Was there several days and I was ready to come home. He said, the meeting doesn't start till Tuesday. I thought we was coming back Sunday. The meeting didn't start till Tuesday. We was there and I thought, Lord, I'm just going to sit back. I can't do a thing. I'm going to trust you. And before it was over, we get up to a checkpoint, and this muffler tailpipe, part of the exhaust system, is rattling so loud, it sounded like a gun. Just brrr. My father-in-law calmly steps out of the car, goes back to the exhaust pipe, places his foot on the pipe, presses down with all of his might, gets back in the car, and there was no noise. I'm telling you, I've learned some things from my father-in-law. I've learned. There's things, if you're having trouble and you think, I'm not doing it. I'm not going if I don't know all the details. Now, folks, I'm just not doing it. I've got to know all the details. I want to know where we start and how much money we got and where we finish, how much. Well, you're going to miss a lot of blessings, I'm telling you, because God has a way of stretching your faith. You think you got it all planned out, and I know for a fact there's some of you that's missed out on a lot of blessings, and you'll continue to do so. I can't help you. And the Lord can't even hardly. You're going to have faith. You're going to have to stop this trying to figure things out from stem to stern and planning all this and having all these things and thinking this is God. And I've seen just the opposite. I didn't know where to start and where it was going to end. And there's the Lord the whole way. And we've got it down pat now in our society that we want to see everything all laid out in perfect form. And it just doesn't. God's going back. You got to have faith to trust me. You got to have faith. If you don't have faith, I'm not going to work. If you don't have faith, you're going to stay in this rut that you're in. You're going to miss my prescription. You're going to miss it. And you're going to continue going on and you get battered and bruised and you're wonder what's wrong with me. Wonder why my faith is. He's telling you, step out. Step out on faith's almighty plain. And what's the rest of that? And dare to. And then through him that loved us, dare to reign. Thank you. May God help us today. So many times I thought about my father-in-law and how he got out in the desert in an old panel truck. And I'm not sure who all was. Brother Leslie might have been with him. I'm not sure who all was. But there was a whole lot of difficult circumstances. Got run off the road. The battery was dead. They jacked the old panel truck up in the sand and raised up one of the tires. And they got a rope and wrapped a rope around the tires, put it in high gear, and all these men pulled on that. Pull started a van. Pull started it like a lawnmower. We wonder sometimes if the key don't work. I can't go to church. Think about it. Think about it. How many things we're missing just because we don't have faith in God. If we don't have our retirement and everything set up just perfect, I've got to have this kind of portfolio. It's kind of funny. You know, I think of some preachers, you know, what kind of portfolio we got? But people really, seriously, they won't plan trips. They won't do this and that. I've got to have, look, if I don't have that much, I can't survive. And we end up planning everything through life, and we're thinking about we've got to make it till we're 80 years old and we die when we're 60 years old. And all that planning and all that scheme, you left it to your children, you left all this thing happen, and you missed out on the joy ride with God through faith. Oh, may the Lord help us today. Saints, I believe God wants to encourage us today to have faith in Him. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to rely on Him. That's where the blessings come from. You know, I believe today we're needing some guidance and direction. I believe the Lord has a prescription for that. We need direction, don't we? Are you here? Do you have a plan for your life, or does God have plans for your life? What is it? What, young people, what are we looking at? I mean, what are you thinking of? Well, I don't really know what I want to do. I'm just going to kind of hang around and, you know, give God something to work with. Give Him something to work with. Don't just expect Him to advance you and bring you up into these high heights and things with no direction in your life and no guidance from the hand of God. Give Him a little bit of help. Give Him a little bit of help. Kind of get out and say, Lord, I want to stir myself up. I want to be stirred because I know You have something great for me in life. And I don't just want to become a knot on a log. I don't want to just become some little nobody. And, you know, I want to stay humble all my life and never do nothing. But, you know, God wants to help us, folks. He wants to help us. Someone makes a remark, stay out of trouble. And they said that to me, and I said, you don't know me very well. You don't know. You know, anytime you do something, somebody said, where do you get all these stories from? How come you got so many stories? Well, you can't sleep till 10 o'clock and expect to have a bunch of stories in life. You can't just lay around and think, oh, I sure wish I had some more experiences. I just wish I had, you know, get out and stir up the dust. Get out and find somebody, you know. Love somebody that's unlovable. You'll have a lot of stories to tell. You love somebody that's unlovable, you know, and have them slam the door in your face. I know this one young man, he got a burden. He said, I'm going to go through the community and knock on all these doors and ask people if they want me to pray for them. And he went around this community, and I'm telling you this, the truth. And he knocks on doors. Could I pray with you today? If I needed prayer, I would ask. Door slams. He goes to the next one. Could I pray? I don't need prayer. Boom. Every home he went to, nobody wanted him to pray for them. If I let that, you know what that could do? I get discouraged over that. But you know the effort. You'll never forget that all of your life. Young people, you want to make some good memories? You stir up some dust. I'm not talking about going out. Anybody can stir up the devil. But I'm talking about doing things for the Lord, endeavoring, and then having Him add some flavor to your life. Too many of us lack the savor. We lack it. It's like when we come into the presence of people, there ought to be something that we're bringing in that room. Yes, amen. Something we're bringing in that room. Right. Something. Not just a drab something. Bring something with you when you go. Oh, God wants to bless us. He wants to give us guidance. I love this song number 288. It says, ever lead me out on this dark world, Savior am I, be Thou my helper. Oh, hear my cry. Thou art my fortress, my all is in Thee. Oh, let Thy mighty hand ever lead me. I'm sorry, I missed maybe some of the words of that. He wants to guide us. He wants to give us direction in life. I better read a little closer on that song, and I'm almost done. But I desire to be led in my life. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Spirit of God, folks, is not always going to take you where this smooth sailing. One man, I was talking to him, I said, I'd sure like to go with you on one of your trips that you make. He goes and gets sailboats that people have sailed way out in the islands and things, and they don't want to sail them back, and they hire him to do that. And I said, I'd love to go with you. He said, okay, but I want to tell you, there's sometimes I've been in 40-foot swells for over 2 days. 40 feet. Now, that's a long ways. Let's see. That's a lot of rough sailing. I'm not sure day and night. And you try to lay down and you're slammed up against the side. No, maybe I don't want to. But we were going to plead sometimes with God, give me smooth sailing. I've had people tell me, you know, I it's like we just glory in all the good health, and we glory because you didn't get in any accidents, and we have so many things to testify that we didn't get into. But I want to tell you, I've got into a few things. Some things that I thought, oh my, I sure wish I hadn't got into that. But I want to tell you, the grace of God can keep us. He can bless us. We can make contact. Wherever you're at, the guidance, the hand of God guiding you, the hand of God leading you and working with you and blessing you in difficult circumstances. Listen, the grace of God is wonderful today. He'll lead us if we're willing. If we want to stay comfortable and we want to stay where all is calm, all is well. And we sing the Silent Night song, all is calm. You know, oh, the Lord's saying, I've got a few rough seas that I want you to go through. Paul said, a day and a night, I've been out in the deep. I've clung to boards. I've been out in the deep. And there were creatures moving around me, maybe. There could have been sharks and things around him. He said, I've been out there in the deep, stranded, not knowing if I was ever going to get out. And he said, you know, the Lord was still with me. He's with me. I've received all these beatings. And the Lord was with me, everyone. Oh! One more. Over and over, the Lord was with him, sustained him. How much more today does God want to bless us by guiding us if we're looking for soft choices? Yeah. And we're always looking for those easy streets, I'm afraid it'll dwarf our experience with God. It'll dwarf it. We won't be the person God wants to make us when we choose easy street. So comfortable and so cushy and so soft. The Lord said, I've got some places I want you to go. I want you to be there. One time he spoke to me, I didn't put you in business to make money. I thought, how am I going to describe that? Well, what are you there for? It's the people I want you to meet. I've got some people that I want you to meet. I've got some places I want you to go. And it's not always easy. God help us and give us courage to keep going on, to keep pressing on. God's got a wonderful prescription, folks, for us today. And I'm going to tell you, it'll work. Old age, the song came to me, when the way seems dark and long and my strength is almost gone, hold of my hand. Dear Lord, I pray, give me grace to shout and shine ever in the light divine. Lord, lead me on from day to day. The book of Isaiah 46 and 4, this is the last scripture that I'm going to read today. There's a lot more. God has a lot more things to prescribe to us. But you know, if we've got to be like the scripture said, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, then shall we know. You might say, well, I just didn't understand it and I gave up. I throwed up my hands. Well, you didn't follow on to know the Lord. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. We've got to keep following Him and knowing Him in afflictions, knowing Him in trials, knowing Him in tests, knowing Him. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. That's where we're going to learn from Him. If we stop short and say, I tried it and I just couldn't make it and I throwed up my and I quit, we won't know Him. But knowing Him in trials, knowing Him in tests, knowing Him in persecutions, that's where it's sweet. 46:4, it says this, and even to your old age, I'm He. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. So when our strength seems frail, your hearing starts leaving you. You can't think as clear as you used to. You're not as strong. You can't hardly get up and down. He said, I'm going to carry you. I'm going to carry you. So your prescription is, listen, when you get old, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to carry you. When it seems like you can't go on anymore, I'm going to take care of you. That's God's way. That's His prescription. He's got a good... There's nothing that God prescribes that's not good for us, folks. I am He. I made you, and I'm going to carry you. May the Lord bless us today. Whenever we find ourselves in difficult places, God has a prescription.